Today's shiur is Masechet Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Mem Hei. We're going to begin on Daf Kuf Mem Dalet Amud Beis, 8 lines from the bottom of Shmuel. The Mishnah that we discussed in the, that we learned at the end of the previous shiur taught us that if some, the concept of Shishbinus, which as we explained, Shishbinus means in those times, we'll discuss this more in today's shiur. If I attend your wedding and I give a wedding gift, then when I get married, you have to attend my wedding and give me a wedding gift. And it's just not, and it's not just because it's the right thing to do, it's the nice thing to do. If I gave you a gift, you should give me a gift. It's considered a full-fledged obligation. It's like a halvah, it's like a loan, as we're going to discuss later in this year. But the Gemara pointed out a contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braisa. The Mishnah says that if there was a brother who attended a wedding when the father was alive, then when that brother gets married, the Shishbinus is given to the estate. Whereas the Braisa said, the Braisa seemed to say it goes to the individual brother. And the Gemara gave a number of terutzim how to reconcile this question. And Shmuel now gives us another terutz. So Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, Hoch b'yom maskinen. Our Mishnah is referring to the situation of a yavam. Pasha pshat means as follows. There's a brother called Reuven. Reuven attended David's wedding. And he gave a gift. Now, David owes Reuven a gift. Reuven passes away without any children, and he has a number of brothers, Shimon, Levi, whatever, and that when David will have to pay his shushbin obligation, even though the halacha is that the brother who does yibum takes over the place of the brother that passed away, and therefore any money owed to Reuven should ostensibly go to Shimon. But there is a concept that we've discussed in the previous perek, that distinguishes between monies which are roi, money which isn't physically yet there, versus money that are muchzik, that is actually there. And when we say that Shimon takes over Reuven's money, it's only money that's muchzik, not money that's roi. And therefore, Shimon does not get this money that Reuven is paid for his shishbinus. That's Posh Pshat in the Gemara. Another Pshat that isn't really significantly different is that the Gemara is not speaking about a situation where the money is owed to Reuven, but since it's only money owed, that's why Shimon the Yavam has no claim to it. It actually means money. Shmuel is actually referring to money that's owed to the estate. But the halach is that the brother who does yibum gets two portions, his own portion and the portion of the brother who he did yibum to that dead brother's wife. Here he won't be entitled to that extra portion because it's roi nam muchzik. Again, we're going to learn with the first pshat. We're referring to Shimon, who's the yavam of Reuven's wife, and therefore is entitled to money that goes to Reuven, but the halacha is she'ena noitel b'roi k'memuchzik. That the halacha is when he does have claims to Reuven's money, he only has claims to the money that's muchzik, not to money that's roi. Ask the Gemara, what we're assuming in understanding Shmuel's case is that David, Reuven attended David's wedding, Reuven gave a gift to David, and now David has to give a gift to Reuven. But the question is, Michlal, it's obvious to Idach Mishalim that David has to pay Reuven Shishbinus. But the question is, why does David have to pay Reuven Shishbinus? Why can't David say, why can't he say, Tanuli Shishbini Vesbachimai? David should be able to say, since Reuven is no longer alive, yes, if Reuven were alive, since Reuven attended my wedding, and Reuven gave me a gift, I have to give him a gift. But here we're referring to a situation where David, where Reuven is not alive. So David should be able to argue, if Reuven is here, then I'll give him. But if he's not here, I don't have to give Shishbinus. And in fact, even though, as we're going to discuss soon, the halach of Shishbinus really doesn't apply anymore, this concept is a very fundamental concept, meaning as follows. Even though, as is very apparent in the Gemara that we've learned and we're going to learn, that if I come to your wedding and I give you Shishbinus, you have to give me Shishbinus, what would be the halach if I don't invite you to the wedding? I don't invite you to my wedding. Then you don't have to give me Shishbinus. It's only if I invite you, so you have to, we're going to learn, you have to come and you have to give. If I don't invite you, you don't have to come. And certainly here, if Reuven isn't here, he can't force David to give. Answers the Gemara. And the Gemara proves that there is such a halacha concept. Miloy Tanya. Makom shenogu l'hachse kedushin. In a place where a couple has erusin, but they never consummate in the suin. And the question is, can the husband or his estate demand back the kedusha money? Makom shenogu l'hachser kedushin. Some places, and we'll discuss this more also soon, in some places the minig is that they have to give back the kedusha money. Makom shenogu shloi l'hachser, where there's a minig not to give back, a machsir. And as the Rishonim point out, obviously that we follow the minig of makom. What's the Brisa teaching us? So the Rishonim explained, the Yad Ramah says this, that the chiddush here is that even if this wasn't an established minig through the Zion Tuvayir, through the committee of the city, but it's considered a valid minig that we should follow. This machloikis, if the husband can demand back the kedusha money, is only in a situation where the wife passed away. Avol meishu, let's say the husband dies, and now the husband between erusin and the suin, and the husband demands, the husband's yarshim, he can't demand, he's not here. But the husband's yarshim demand the kedushin money back. Emachsirim, the wife does not have to give back the kedushin money. Why? Because naitama yecholi yishitaymer, she could successfully argue to nuli bali v'eslachimoy. For my part, I'm ready to get married. Here too, says the Gemara Hachnami. Here too, why do we say that if Reuven attended David's wedding, does David have to give shishbinus to Reuven? Why can't David argue? Name it, Tnuli Shishbini Vesmachimai. I'll give if I have who to give to. Answers the, that we should, so what's the point of discussing if Shimon, Reuven's brother, who was Meyabim Reuven's wife, takes over Reuven's place or not? Answers the Gemara. Amrav Yosef, Hachmamai Skinen, Kigan Shishamachimai Zain Yimei Mishta, Lahisparik Leparat Shemais. Correct, says the Gemara. If Reuven were to attend David's wedding and give Shishbinus, and then terrible tragedy, Reuven passes away, the halach is that David doesn't have to give Reuven Shishbinus. But what would happen if this were a scenario? Reuven attended David's wedding, Reuven gave Shishbinus to David, then Baruch Hashem Reuven got married. Not only did he get married, he Baruch Hashem had 7 days of Sheva Brachas, and David participated and all of the Sheva Brachas. So now he owes the Shishbinus money. Not everybody always gives the gift right at a wedding. So he didn't have an opportunity to give the gift. And before the opportunity to give the gift, tragedy, Reuven passes away. There the halach is that even, it's just that David didn't have the opportunity to give the gift. But he certainly owes that money. And therefore, now tells us Shmuel, that's what Shmuel says, the Mishnah is teaching us that since this money is considered roi, and the Rishonim say that this is even less than a malva, because we learned in the previous parak a machloikis, if a malva, the milva, if alone is considered roi muchsik, this is certainly, according to everyone, considered roi. And a yavam, even though he gets and replaces and takes over the place of the brother of whose wife he did yibum, not for this money, and therefore that money will go to the estate, not to this brother. That's how Shmuel explains this Gemara. Before we go further, it's interesting to point out that even though we're learning, and we're going to continue learning, the sugya of Shishbinus, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention Shishbinus. Obviously, because the Shulchan Aruch held that the entire minig of Shishbinus doesn't apply nowadays. And the Mefarshim explain why. The Matna explains, there are other Achronim that say the same explanation. And it's a perfect introduction to the next Gemara we're going to learn. Every Jewish marriage has two stages, Erusin and Nisuin. Nowadays, they're done one right after the other. Under the Chuppah, we do Erusin, and then we do Nisuin. In the time of Chazal, the Gemara says it in many different places, there was typically a time lag, significant time lag, between the Erusin and the Nisuin. And part of the job of the Shishbinim was to make sure that even though the Chas and the Kala were essentially husband and wife, Arus is an Eishes Ish, but they're not allowed to have relations. And an important responsibility that the Shishbinim had was to make sure that they didn't get too close. Nowadays, however, since we don't have that minig, where there's no time between the Erusin and the Nisuin to be concerned about that, that's why the time minig of Shishbinim fell away. Says the Gemara, we just discussed the concept that a woman can successfully argue where the marriage had Erusin but didn't have Nisuin. The question, can the woman say, I don't have to return the Kess of Kedushin because as far as I'm concerned, we could get married. And suggest the Gemara, Lema perhaps to newly Bali Ve'esmechimai, this concept can or can't the woman say this, actually maybe is a Machlokes Tanoihi, the Tanya. The Brisa says, Hamaris is Isha, if somebody does Erisin, Psula goes Masayim, the Halacha is a Psula gets Masayim, Vamona Mona. That means if, as soon as there's Erisin, the wife is entitled to a Ksuba. Even though the Rishonim point out that this issue of a Ksuba, of an Arusa being entitled to a Ksuba is a discussion that we discussed in Masechta Ksubas. How do we understand this Gemara? So actually, the Ritva says that this rice is a raya, that a arusa is entitled to a ksuba. Other Rishonim say that even though there's a question if an arusa is entitled to a ksuba or not, everybody agrees that if the chosen, if the husband wrote a ksuba to the wife, then she's certainly entitled to ksuba. And that's the case here. With his chosen, the orus, wrote to his arusa a ksuba. A third opinion that I saw in the Rishonim, it is a nafgamina. We know that a ksuba has to be paid in one of two circumstances. Either if the husband dies, or if the husband divorces his wife. So yes, if there was only erusin, and Rachman al-Tzlan, the husband dies, a ksuba doesn't have to be paid. But if a husband divorced his wife from erusin, a ksuba would have to be paid. And that's the case here, that they got divorced. And the halacha is, psula gav musayim, famonam mona. Continues the braisa, that's on the ksuba payment. What about the kedushin money that the husband gave the wife? Says the Brice, Makum Shinogu Lahaksa Kedushin Machzirim. In the place where the minig is to give back the money, it's given back. Makum Shinogu Shloy Lahaksa Kedushin, where the minig is that they don't give it back, a Machzirim. Divrei Reb Nosson. That's Reb Nosson's opinion. Reb Yehuda Nossi Oimer, Bemis Amru, Makum Shinogu Lahaksa Machzirim, where the minig Makum is to give back the kedushin money, Machzirim, it should be given back. Makum Shinogu Shloy Lahaksir, a Machzirim. Ask the Gemara the obvious question. What's the difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Nossi and Tanakama? Rabbi Yehuda and Nossi, Hanna Tanakama. Aren't they saying the exact same thing? Elalav suggests the Gemara. What is the machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and Nossi and Reb Nosson? Elalav, this concept of Tanuli Bali, Vesmach Imoy Ikvenayu. That is the machloikis all about. And the Gemara explains itself. V'chsuri mechsura v'chtani. This is the way to understand the Braisa. Hamaris is Isha. If there was erusin, and then that marriage wasn't consummated to nesuin, b'sula gav masayim v'amana mana. B'med var mamurim, when is that the hadabai ihu, that it was the husband that retracted and didn't want to consummate to nesuin. Avam mesa, what would be the halacha if the wife died, and therefore it's her fault that the marriage can't be consummated to Nisuin. Der halacha is, it depends on the minig. Makom shenagu lachzer machzirim, but makom shenagu shloi lachzer ein machzirim. We follow the minig. However, v'dafka, when is the minig the factor? Specifically, shemesihi, where she died. So now this different minhagim. Aval meishu, let's say the husband died, then says Reb Nosson, ein machzirim. The halacha is that the money doesn't have to be given back. the Kesef Kedushin. My Tama, because she could successfully argue, my Tama, Yechayli Hish Timer, she could successfully argue, Tnuli Ba'alav Esvachmai. As far as I'm concerned, I'm ready to get married. And therefore, I don't have to give back the Kesef Kedushin. Vasab Yehuda Nasi Lameima, says Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, no. Be'emes Amru, it makes no difference. Be'emes who, be'emes he, whether it's he who died, and therefore it's his fault that the marriage wasn't consummated. Whether she died, and therefore it's obviously her fault that the marriage wasn't consummated, we follow the Minig HaMakom. Makom Shenagu L'Achzir. Where the Minig HaMakom is that the Kesef Kedushin is returned. Machzirim. Makom Shenagu Shalai L'Achzir. Lo'ei Machzirim. Because the Lo'ei Matza Amra, a wife cannot successfully argue where it's his fault that the marriage wasn't consummated. T'nuli Ba'ala Besev Chimayim. So now the Gemara has essentially accomplished two things. We've accomplished that we now understand where there's a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nasi. Otherwise, we don't understand the Braisa. And furthermore, this concept that we introduced already in the bottom of Kuf Mem Dalaram Abeis, of Tnuli Baal of Esmechamai, is actually machlokes Tanoim, suggests the Gemara. Says Merloi, that's not the way to understand the Braisa. Because the Kula Alma, everybody will agree, because it makes all the sense in the world. Yechayel Shetayim, that a wife could suggest, successfully argue, where it's the husband's fault that the marriage is not being consummated. Tnuli Ba'al Vesmachmai. Why should I have to get back to Kesef Kedushin? Udamishu. And therefore, if it's the husband who died, certainly everybody will agree that you don't have to get back to Kedushin. Udamishu, when he died, Kulam Lepligi, everybody will agree that she does not have to give back the Kedushin money. Kipligi, where is there the argument? Shemesehi, in a situation where she passed away. So it's her fault that the marriage wasn't consummated. And what is the machlokes? V'hocha b'kedushin l'tibuin nitlu k'mifgi. The word tibuin is from the Lashon Tova. Tova means sink, drown. And the machlokes here is, if somebody gives his wife kesef kedushin, does he look at that money like it's drowned, that I'm never getting it back? Rav Nosson Sover, Kedushin Lav L'Tavun Etnu. Just because somebody gives his wife Kedushin money, doesn't mean he's giving up and ever getting it back. And therefore, if that marriage can't be consummated, Rechman Slon, she passes away, he's entitled to his money back. Ask the Rishonim D'Achroinim, very fundamental question in understanding our sugya. How can we suggest that you have to give back the Kedushin money? She certainly is Mekudeshes. And if you give back the Kedushin money, so where's the Kedushin? Where's the Kedushin? How could she give back the money? So I saw four answers to this question. The Meiri and the Ritva explain this way. Even if Rav Nosson says that if it's her fault that the marriage wasn't consummated, she died, Rachman Tzlan, and her Yarshim have to give back the money, according to Rav Nosson, they'll only have to give, they'll keep a pruta. Because that's all you really need to affect the Kedushin. So the Gemara says that according to Rav Nosson, they give back the money, it means they give back all the money minus a pruta. I asked the Meiri, so what does the Gemara say? So he says, because since a pruta is not the significant amount of money, the Gemara doesn't bother mentioning it. That's the Meiri's teretz. The Rashba says a different teretz. The Rashba says that you're going to have to give back, her estate will have to give back all the money. But what happened here? There was Erisin Rish Chodesh Shvat. Rish Chodesh Nissan, tragedy strikes. She dies. And that's why her estate has to give him back that money. But she and her estate had ability to use that money for those months. That's what kept, that value can't be given back. It isn't given back. And that's what makes the Kedushin happen, even though they're giving back all the money. Shari Yosher, says a very, Rav Shimon Shkop in the Shari Yosher, says a very interesting teretz. He says, if you think, this is the way I understand what he's saying. If you think about every marriage where the Kedushin is done through money, we do Kedushin with a ring, but where Kedushin is done with money, does it mean that if you're Mekadosh your wife with money, she has to hold that money forever? Of course not. So here too, the Kedushin was affected at the moment that the husband gave the wife the money. That becomes a hard and fast fact. Now, the money, even if it's not here, doesn't affect the status of the Kedushin. Really, that's the way any Kedushin done by Kesef works. Chazanish says a fourth pshat. Chazanish says pshat like this. It's an unsaid but understood condition. Every time, again, in our world, it's not relevant, that in those days where there was a time differential between the Erusin and the Nesuin, what the husband was saying to the wife was, I'm giving you the Kesef Kedushin, and you could keep the Kesef Kedushin, provided that this marriage is consummated into a Nesuin. But if it won't come to Nesuin, you have to give me back my money. And that's why she has to give back the money. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda Anasi is of the opinion, Kedushin, that once you give the money, you don't get it back. Ask the Marhak, we explain the Machloikas of Nosin and Rabbi Yehuda that way. What does it have to do with a Minig HaMokim? It has to do with the concept of Kedushin, Litbun, the way we're explaining now. It has to do with a Halachic Machloikas, if Kedushin, Litbun, Litnu or not. It says the Marhak Kamer. This is the way to understand Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. The Sevlonis. According to Rabbi Yehuda, if the husband gave the wife Kesef Kedushin and she dies, Kedushin Litbun Nitnu, he can't get back that money. But as we're going to learn, we'll discuss this more in the Mishnah, they used to give gifts. Says Rabbi Yehuda, even though the husband doesn't have a claim for the money, for the Kesef Kedushin, for the gifts, he certainly has the right to demand them back. V'sivloinus, ma'day mokum shnogel l'machzer machzirun. That he certainly has every right to claim and get back. It says, Dimavahani Tanoi, Karen Tanoi. Actually, this Machloikus Tanoim mirrors another Machloikus Tanoim. The Tanya, Kitcher Bekiker. If somebody was Mekadish, a woman, with a Kiker of silver. A Kiker of silver has 25 mana. Each mana is made up of 25 shekel. Each shekel is made up of 4 dinar. And each dinner is made up of 4 zuzim. Kitcher b'kikah. The Gemara will explain this price in a moment. B'sula gav m'sayim v'amana mana divere meyah. Rabbi Yehuda am b'sula gav m'sayim v'amana mana v'machzeres lo yisashar. Rabbi Yosef am kitcher b'astrim noisen lo yishloishim chatzoyim. Kitcher b'shloishim noisen lo yisim chatzoyim. And now the Gemara explains itself. B'may iskinen. What is the situation? Ilema shemesa. So if it's referring to a situation that she passed away, misla ksuba. Ksuba is given if the husband dies. If the husband divorces her, not if she dies. Ella shemesu. He passed away. So why does she have to return anything? Amay magzeres lo yishar. Why can't she argue, which we're saying now everybody agrees to this concept, for name it's nuli ba'al v'esmechamay. As far as I'm concerned, I'm ready to get married. And therefore she should be able to hold on to the Kesef Kedushim. Vela, Be'eshes Yisrael, we're going to say that the Brice is referring to a situation where the Eshes Yisrael Shazinsa, that had a relation with another man. Ask them again, B'mai, what were the circumstances? Iberotzen, if she did this willfully, Mi'esla Ksuba, her husband divorces her and she gets nothing. Ella Ba'inus, if it's talking about that she was raped, Mishra Shayla. So then she does, they don't have to get divorced. And Eishes Yisrael, who was violated, they could get married. So why should the marriage be terminated? Vela Eishes Kohen Shenemtsa. We're going to explain, it's referring to a situation that she was the wife of a Kohen, who was violated. That as we've learned, the halacha is that the wife of a Kohen, even though it was a Oynes, cannot marry a husband, or cannot even remain with a husband. The Kedushin, Litbun Lenit Mekumefki. That's the case. And now the question is, how do we look at the Kesef Kedushin? Ramei is sover. Ramei is of the opinion. Certainly the Ksuba has to be paid back. But Ramei is of the opinion, not only does the Ksuba have to be paid, and the question that the Rosh Hashanah asks, why should the Ksuba be paid? It's not his fault that he can't remain with her. The Torah says it. Answer the Rosh Hashanah. One answer, both answers are very similar. One answer the Rosh Hashanah give, It is his fault, because he's the Kohen. It's not her fault, and that's why he has to pay the Ksuba. Another Teretz is that the only time the wife loses a Ksuba is when she willfully, B'pshia, did something wrong. This woman didn't do anything wrong, B'pshia, and that's why she's entitled to the Ksuba. And Ramei says not only is she entitled to the Ksuba, but the Kesef Kedushin that was given to her, she keeps. Because Ramei is of the opinion Kedushin Litbunitnu. Once a husband gives his wife Kesef Kedushin, she keeps it forever. Rehuda Savar, the Ksuba she gets, but the Kesef Kedushin she doesn't keep, because Lav Litbunitnu. Rabbi Yossi is Mesapkalei. Rabbi Yossi has a question. Ilit Buonitnu, do we consider this? He doesn't know. How do we look at Kesef Kedushin? When somebody gives his wife Kesef Kedushin, doesn't mean that it's going to be there forever or not. And because Ilit Buonitnu Loi Vilkach, therefore, Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion, since we have a question, we divide it. And let's understand what he's saying. Kitche Be'esrim, if he was Mekadeshar with 20 coins. And as I said, each coin is worth 4 zuz. So if he gave her 20, let's think about that. 20 times 4 equal 80. And as Rashi, as Rashbam says, she was an almana. An almana is entitled to 100 zuz for a ksuba. So she got 80. Rabbi Yossi says we keep her, she keeps half, because we have a shayla. So 40 she keeps, and he has credit for 40. How much will he have to replace? Another 60 to come up to 100. So that's why he should give another 30, which will equal the amount that he owes her, which is 15. Kitcha b'shloshim, if he was Mekadesha with 30, 30 times 4 equal 120. So 60 she keeps for the Kesef Kedushin. 60 she has credit by him. Half of 20 is 10. 10 times 4 equal 40. 40 plus the 60 that he has for credit equal 100. So 2 points they're trying to make. One is, why do they speak in halves? Why don't I just say 10? So Rishonim answer, or 15. So Rishonim answer, because they used to count money usually in halves. That's one teretz I saw the Rishonim. Another teretz I saw the Rishonim is we're trying to make the point that this is Rabbi Yossi's opinion. And Rabbi Yossi's opinion is that Yachloikut should be divided. That's why the Gemara used the word of Chatzoyim. Another question that the Rishonim ask is that, and we discussed this concept many times, this din, that when there's a suffix, when we have a question, Yachloiku, is the opinion of Sumchas. The Rabbanim don't agree with Mom and Hamutal B'Safik Cholkim. So how do we understand that the Gemara is saying that according to Rabbi Yossi, well, we have a question, Yachlaiku? So I saw three terutzim. One terutz is that Rabbi Yossi agrees with Simchas. Simple terutz. Another terutz is that even though the Rabbanan normally don't agree with Simchas, the Mom and Hamutal B'Safik Cholkim, there are specific circumstances where Chazal said that the din should be Yachlaiku. This is one of those situations. A third terutz that I saw, is that what the Rabbanan hold? Rabbi Simchas holds that Mamanam Mutal B'Safik Cholkim. Rabbanan hold Maitzi Mechaver Olav Araya. But here, they're both Maitzi Mechaveros. She's holding the Ksuba, and he's holding the money. So they're both Maitzi Mechaveros. When they're both Maitzi Mechaveros, even the Rabbanan will agree Yachlaiku. Says the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yosef ben Menuni, Amar Rabbi Nachman, Bekom Mokum Shnogel Hachzir Machzir. The Tirgma, what does that mean? Where is the Minigam Mokum that the money is returned if the wife dies? Nahadah. And as Rashbam explains, it doesn't mean Nahadah. It means Nahadah in the entire vicinity of Nahadah. There, it's clear that the Minigam Mokum was that they returned, that if she died, they gave back the Kesef Kedushin. Now ask the Gemara, what is the minig in the rest of Bavel, not in the vicinity of Nahadah. Shabav Mai, Rav Rav Yosef Darmi Tavayu, Mari Hadri, Kedusha Loi Hadri. The gifts are given back, but the Kesef Kedushin is not given back. Why? Because Kesef L'Kedushin Nitnu. So here we find a new word, the word Mayari. Before we found the word Sevloinus. So many Rishonim say that Mayari and Sevloinus are really the same. It's different words for the same, meaning gifts that the Oris gives to the Arusa. Others explain that Sivlainis are gifts that you give to the Kala. We're going to learn in the Mishnah, they gave her food that she eats up, that by the time they have Nisun, those gifts aren't here anymore. However, Mayari were cash gifts, or jewelry that the Chosin gave the Kala, that were brought into the marriage, were actually written to the Ksuba, even though they were given before they got married, but those are gifts that are durable items. Amar Papa, Hilchasa. The halach is, Ben Shemes Hu, Ben Shemes Ahi, Fahad Behu, Mayri Hadri, Kedusha Loi Hadri. Hadri, that's when it was his fault. However, Hadri Behi, if it was her fault that the Kedushin wasn't, the Erisin wasn't consummated to Nesuin, I feel Kedushin Nami Hadri. Says the Gemara, Amei Marmer, Kedusha Loi Hadri. Even in a case where it's her fault, I mean, she died, that it's therefore her fault that this marriage wasn't consummated to Nesuin, the halach is the Kesef Kedushin should not be returned. Why? Because Gzeira Shem Yoyim Kedushin Toysim Bachoysa. If the money will give him back, people will assume that that marriage was never a marriage. And they'll think that he's allowed to marry, the halach is you're not allowed to marry a Chos Ishtoy. People will think that he's allowed to marry her because the Kesef Kedushin was returned, there was never a Kedushin. To avoid that problem, Chazal said, don't give back the money. Rav Asher Amar, we don't have to worry that people are going to think there was no Kedushin here, because Gita Mechichala, the fact that he wrote her a get, is a proof that there was a Kedushin. Says, well, that's not true, because Hadar Rav Asher Bedusahi, it's not a concern. Dika Desham Bahal, we have to be concerned, there are people that will know that the Kesef Kedushin will give it back, and they'll assume, therefore, that the Kedushin was null and void, and they don't know there was a get to prove that there was a Kedushin. And therefore, what will be? So the Tefillah explains what will happen is as follows. It's somewhat of a complicated scenario. Reuven was married to this woman. Reuven had Erison with this woman. And then she didn't want to go through with the marriage. So what will happen? She'll give back the Kesef Kedushin. People will assume that there was never a marriage here. And since let's say the wife's name was Rachel, people will assume that there was never a marriage here, and therefore when Reuven gives Kedushin to Leah, Rachel's sister, people will assume that's a good Kedushin, because she was never his wife. Then when you have a third individual giving Leah Kedushin, people will think that that's a meaningless act, because she's already married to Reuven. But she isn't married to Reuven, because she's a Chos Ishtoy. So to avoid this problem, says the Gemara, even though theoretically she should have to give back the Kesef Kedushin, she doesn't. Says the Maril, and the Ramah quotes the Maril, where is there a concern that people, when they see that there's something wrong and she gives back the Kesef Kedushin, we have to be concerned that people will make the mistake in thinking that there was no Kedushin when actually there was a Kedushin? That's only if there was Erisin. Let's say, says the Maril, and the Ramah quotes this Laloch Lamaisa, there was a Nesuin, and then we find out there was something wrong, and we're vattled in this, and we tell them that they shouldn't continue getting married, they shouldn't stay together. And she fooled him, and she has to give back the Kesef Kedushin. There we don't have to worry that people will think there was no marriage, and there she should give back the money, and the concern that Amaim worries about doesn't exist. Says the Gemara. We go back to discussing Shishbinus. Shishbinus Nekbeas Bebezdim. Tanan Ban Chamish Dvaram Nemer B'Shishbinus. There were five things said about Shishbinus. Nigvas Bebezdin, it's considered a full-fledged obligation. Chazeres Bainosa, it has to be given back in the right time. Vein B'Mishem Ribis, the Gemara is going to explain each one of these halachas. Vein Hashem Rius Mishamtasa, it's not subject to the rules of Shvius that cancels all loans. Vein Achor B'chor Noch B'Shnayim. The B'chor of an estate collecting Shishbinus is not entitled to P'Shnayim. The Gemara explains each one of these halachas. Nigvas Bebezdin, my tama, kamila bedamia. It's considered a full-fledged obligation, like a loan. Like I said at the beginning of this year, I give you shishbinus, and now you owe me shishbinus. Vaymer shibribis, what does that mean? The lava data da hachiyavla. Which means, posh pshat in the gemara is, that if I come to your wedding, and I give you a gift, I give you $100, and now when you come to my wedding, you give me shishbinus, you're a more generous person, you give me $200, the halach is that's not considered ribis, even though it's a loan. And the Rishonim debate why. So I'm going to say the easier pshat first. The easier pshat is the pshat that Taisva says. You can't call something ribis and a loan that may never get paid. Because when do you have to give me shishbinus? We'll discuss this more soon. Only if I get married. But let's say I came to your wedding and I gave you shishbinus. But then I don't get married, chas v'shalom. Or I get married, I spoke about this at the beginning of the year, I don't invite you to the wedding. Then you don't have to give me shishbinus. So since it's not something that you're going to for sure have to pay, you can't call that ribbis. That's one pshat. Easy pshat. Another pshat is that you're not, even though it's considered a loan, the Gemara said it's considered a loan, when you come to my wedding and you give me a gift, I was by your wedding, I gave you a gift, and then you come to my wedding and you give me a gift, you don't mean to pay me a loan as if it's paying back a loan, even though halachically it is considered a loan. You mean to participate in the wedding. You come to a wedding, you give me a gift. And therefore, since your intention is not to pay extra for the money that I gave you, that's not considered ribbis. And in fact, I saw the Paiskim discuss this question, halacha l'maisa. It comes up very often in Etz Yisrael. The dollar in Israel fluctuates towards the shekel. So let's say in Etz Yisrael, you borrow from me a dollar. You ask me, give me a dollar. You're by the kaisel, you want to give somebody tzedakah. You ask me to give you a dollar. I give you a dollar. By the time you pay me back, since there's always dollar going up and down, the dollar went up. So now the dollar that I gave you is worth more shekel. So the question is, are you allowed to give me back that dollar? Why? It may be ribbis. So the Chalkas Yaakov actually says it's awesome. And the Chalkas Yaakov says, you have a real issue. You should pay me back in shekelim according to the value of the dollar when I lent you the dollar. That's what the Chalkas Yaakov says. The Cheshev of Eifed says no. When you're giving back the dollar that I gave you a dollar, and then you pay me back a dollar, your intention isn't to give me more than I gave you or to give me less than I gave you. I gave you a dollar, you're giving me back a dollar. Which is exactly the case here. I gave you a gift, you're giving me a gift. And it's not that you're looking how much did I give you and how much did you give me. And he says, therefore, our Gemara is teaching us that this is not included in the rule of ribbis, and it's mutter. Very big chiddush. Furthermore, here too we have two pshatim. The halacha is, as I said a moment ago, that shvius cancels all loans. But the question is, what does that mean that shvius cancels all loans? It can mean one of two things. It can mean the two reasons why there's no problem. Let's say I lend you money for 10 years. In the middle of the 10 years, obviously, there's going to be a Shemitah. Shemitah is every 7 years. Since the money is not due, it's not considered money, a loan that's canceled by Shemitah. That's the case here. Since it's not for sure that this money will be due in this time, so because I may get married after Shemitah, Shemitah doesn't cancel the loan. One pshat. Another pshat again, the pshat that I said again. Shemitah only cancels a loan that has a due date. This loan doesn't have a specific due date, because we don't know when I'm getting married. And therefore, Shemitah doesn't cancel it. Ve'en b'chor noita by b'roi k'mokzik. Why? Ve'en b'chor noita by b'shnayim. Tav le'roi, we discussed this at the beginning of the year. It's not money that's considered that I have at this point, that the estate has at this point. Ve'en b'chor noita b'roi k'mokzik. Omer of Kahana. Klolo t'shvenisa. What is the rules about Shishvina? Have a bit masa. If you are in the city, you buy a little masa. You should come to the wedding. And if you don't come to the wedding, you have to pay. Because who told you not to come? You should have come if I invited you. Shama kol tavla. There's a number of pshatim in this Gemara. But the way most Rishonim learn the Gemara is like this. The Aruch HaShulchan learned the Gemara. In some places, they sent, like we do, invitations were sent. So if you come, if I didn't send you an invitation, you don't have to give me. But in some places, they didn't send invitations. They just made an announcement. They used to ring a bell. And that was proof that there was a wedding. So you can't say that I didn't know. Sure you knew. There was a bell rung. Shama kol tavla, boilei lamasa. Then you should come. And if you didn't come, you have to give me the shvinus. Moishal kam tavla. But let's say it's a place where you're in a place that you can't hear the bell ring. I should have notified you. If I didn't notify you, loy dure, shumas islay, shlumi mishalom. You still have to pay. But how much do you have to pay? Amrabaya, nogu beganna adzuza. Means as follows. When you come to a wedding, so you have to give a gift. But on the other hand, you also have something working in your favor. You get supper. So if you didn't come to the wedding, because you weren't aware of the wedding, so you could deduct the price of supper. How much is Sopper? Azuza. Issa b'kape, achra b'karsa, ad arba mishalim palat. Issa b'kape, achra b'karsa. Ad zuza, issa b'kape, achra b'karsa. That means you have to, you can deduct the zuz for the price of your meal. Ad arba mishalim palga. Which means like this, if you're going to give me a big gift, you get a better supper. So if you're going to give me a gift of four zuz, you could deduct two zuz. Mikan ve'elach, inish kichshuv asay. Which means, if you're going to give me a bigger gift, so we have to look, obviously you're a very wealthy person. A wealthy person gets a good dinner, so we have to see what kind of dinner you eat, and that's the amount you're allowed to deduct. Tana Rabbanan, asima b'pumbi. When I came to your wedding, you made a wedding publicly. Ubikish lasis ima b'tzina. But now I make a small wedding. Yochaloi maloi. So you could say, yes, I owe you shishbinis. But I only pay you the shishbinis, but pumba esimach, kedach shisimi. You came to a big wedding, and I'll come to a big wedding. And therefore, if you don't invite me to a big wedding, I don't have to give the shishbinis. However, the Yishonim say, I came to your wedding, now you're coming to my wedding. Where I at least invited you to my wedding. Where do you have a right to make this claim? If I have the financial ability to make a big wedding, but let's say I don't have the ability to make a big wedding, and now you come and you say, and that's why I made a smaller wedding, you don't have a claim to say, I'm not coming to your wedding because it's too small for me. Furthermore, the Rishonim said, what about the opposite case? Let's say you made a small wedding. I came to your wedding was small, and I'm making a big wedding. Can you argue, you came to a small wedding, I don't want to come to a big wedding? That you can argue. You can only argue, you came to big wedding, I want to come to big wedding. But you can't argue, you came to a small wedding, I want to come to a small wedding. Asim a psula, you married a psula, ubikish lasim my almana, and now I'm marrying an almana, yachaloi maloi, you could successfully argue, the psula esimach, kederach shasisime. I'm only going to give you shishbinis, just like you came to a wedding of a psula, you should come to me. Because a psula obviously has a certain simcha. On the other hand, asim a bishniya, your wedding was a wedding to a second wife, ubikish lasim my bishina, and my wedding is a wedding to a first wife, and Rishonim explained, there's an advantage to a first wedding and there's an advantage to a second wedding. The advantage to a first wedding is, a first marriage is more simcha. The advantage to the second wedding, the Gemara Masech, the Bracha says, that by a second wedding, people are less nervous because they already have experience than by a first wedding.